We're going to hear a lot about her. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran. A lot of running in the account too. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, here's her take on it. Here's all she could figure. They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. They probably being the Roman authorities or the Jewish authorities or both. They must have taken the body somewhere. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together. It's more running. But the other disciple, that's John, he's writing this. He's being humble and not naming himself. But the other disciple, and now he's not being humble, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. John 21 through 10, this is the word of the true and the living God.
Amen.
Amen. Title of today's sermon is, well, what else could I call it? He is risen indeed. Let's bow and pray together. Father, thank you for this time of worship. We enter into your holy presence, bearing the worthy name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that we are coming to you in the power of the Holy Spirit to render you our gifts and offerings of adoration and praise. We thank you for the salvation, the free and full salvation, the pardon from all our iniquities that we have found through our risen Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that he will be exalted today and that you will give us such hearts as to receive your word as it is in truth your word. We pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Before we get into the text, here are a couple of helpful resurrection quotes. The first one from R.C. Sproul, who was in the presence of the Lamb. But he said back when he was still on the earth, the resurrection was God the Father's way of authenticating all of the truths that were declared by Jesus. In other words, who should you believe? Believe the one who died and rose from the dead. Then John Piper, Paul put all of his eggs, you know, in 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul said, if the basic paraphrase, if the gospel isn't true, then we're of all people most to be pitied if Jesus wasn't raised. Paul put all of his eggs in the basket of resurrection. If that didn't happen, then Christianity is just a sham. And then let's go back to the late 1800s with Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is one of the best attested facts on record. There were so many witnesses to behold it that if we do in the least degree receive the credibility of men's testimonies, we cannot and we dare not doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. A couple of introductory quotes. Now to our text, John chapter 20, starting in verse 1. I'll read the verse again, verse 1. Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Notice there, the first significant thing is it's the first day. All four Gospels report that this happened on the first day. And this helps to answer the question, why do we Christians worship on the first day, on Sunday? 1,400 years prior to the resurrection of Jesus, God had mandated, he had legislated that his people would worship on Saturday, on the last day of the week, the seventh day. And for 1,400 years, every Saturday after Saturday after Saturday after Saturday, according to the law of God, they had worshiped on the seventh day, on Saturday. Now, why all of a sudden do we find New Covenant Christians worshiping on a new day, on the first day? And this is why, because Jesus rose on the first day, and commemorating the resurrection of Jesus Christ calls for a new day because it's a greater day than commemorating God's rest from his creative labors, Genesis 1 and 2. So So it's on the first day, Mary Magdalene. Let's think about her for a moment. Mary Magdalene, Mary M. It is, I'm happy to tell you, it's widely accepted among even secular scholars and non-historians and non-Christian historians that Mary Magdalene was a real historic person who was a real follower of Jesus Christ in the first century. We see here in the Bible, first in Luke 8:2, listen to this description of Mary. This is who Mary was, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out. So we're going to see a lot more about Mary in the story, but I want you to get an idea. This is a woman with a past. You don't have seven demons and you're a Sunday school teacher. All right, you don't have seven demons and you're just doing nice things for people. This woman had seven demons go out of her. So we're talking about, and we're going to see her again and again, that Mary Magdalene. She is mentioned by name 12 times in the four Gospels, more than any other woman and more than most apostles. Get that? Mary Magdalene, out of whom seven demons had gone, she's mentioned more than most apostles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want to just give an application already. No matter your past, you can come to Christ and become even an important person worthy of mention in the kingdom of God. Mary Magdalene played a very significant role in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And note, I also want you to notice this. In the providence of God, God could have had anybody to be the first person to show up at that tomb. But in his providential working, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. He had a woman, Mary Magdalene, a woman with that past, be the first person to show up at the tomb of Jesus Christ. God's providence. He could have had John show up first, or Peter, or Matthew, but Mary Magdalene, Mary M., first person on the planet to see the open and empty tomb. Also want to go back to that word early. Notice Mary came to the term tomb early. Let me spiritualize on that just a little bit. Just like you should come to Jesus Christ early. Early in life, before you wallow in the muck and mire of the world and get yourself all filled with demons. Come to Jesus Christ early. Follow him all your days. Mary came early that day. But when she got there early, there was a very big surprise awaiting her, something totally unexpected. Must have really taken her aback. You talk about getting goosebumps. You show up at the tomb and it's empty. The stone is rolled away. What do we know about that stone? Mark, in his gospel, tells us it was a very large stone. Matthew tells us that what moved it was an earthquake after an angel had descended and rolled back the stone and sat on it. I love that little detail, an angel sitting on a stone. Just picture that. That's really cool. Mark 16, the women were worried about who could move it. Archaeologists tell us that that stone would have been about 4 feet to maybe 6 feet in diameter, a foot thick, and weighed, 2 tons. And it rolled down into a little groove or a track, and so it was hard to get it to roll back up. But when Mary got there, it was rolled up out of that little groove. A 2-ton stone was rolled up. By the way, why was the stone rolled away? Not so Jesus could get out. Jesus in his glorified body could have passed right through the stone. Why was the stone moved away? So they could look in. Interesting. So Mary Magdalene, she gets there early when the stone had been rolled away. Next, John 20, verse 2. So she ran, again, there's a lot of running in our text, and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, that's John, he's being humble, the one Jesus loved. He's really being humble, but that's the truth. And she said to them, they have taken, this is her conclusion, the only thing she could arrive at, they've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him. So Mary, this Mary who said that, that was her conclusion. They took him out of the tomb. She had heard Jesus say on numerous occasions, they had all heard Jesus say on numerous occasions, I will rise from the dead. I will rise on the third day. Destroy this temple, and on the third day, I will raise it up. But it hadn't gone in. They didn't really get it. Like someone with bad dementia and you're trying to tell them that you're their daughter, and they don't have facial recognition anymore, and they've forgotten about you, and they just have this uncomprehending stare, like you're saying the truth, but it's not going in. And that's how it was with the disciples, and Jesus telling them, I'm going to be killed and rise again. They just like blank stare, didn't get it, and they still don't get it. They're at the empty tomb, and they don't get it. It didn't go in. Some of you here today might be like they were. The truth about salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in the resurrected Savior alone, has not yet gone in. You're hearing words, but the words bounce off your soul. They bounce off your heart, and they need to go in. May the Lord grant you a soft heart, one that God's word easily penetrates. So at the empty tomb, she concluded, they have taken the Lord away. But she was wrong. Man, was she wrong. God had raised him up. So she ran, and she said, they've taken him. Let's go on, John 20, now verses 3 and 4. So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I don't know, is that there's definitely humor in the Bible in some places. Is this one of them? You know, that John took prime time to say, I beat Peter. Or is he just setting it up so we understand what comes next? This is why John's outside looking in and Peter isn't there yet. When he goes in, then John goes, is he just setting it up so we'll get it? Probably that. But all Christians for all of time know the important fact that John can outrun Peter. It made me think, among our elders, who could outrun whom? And my money's on Wallace. He's a sprightly young man. All right. So they ran, and what they saw when they got there. What an amazing moment in human history and in redemptive history. Verse 5, and stooping to look in, they're outside the tomb looking in, John is, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. So now I'm using my imagination a little bit, but I'll tell you what, if it was me and I look in there and I see the cloths and the stones rolled away, I'm going like, what? Right? Trying to, hard drive spinning, trying to come up with an idea. What's going on here? What? And the cloths were lying there. Wait a minute. If they took him away, why would they unwrap all the cloths? Why would they get him out of the cloths first? What are the cloths doing here, but there's no body? What in the world is going on? We don't exactly get this. In our day, we have this embalming process. I had to read about it, so I'll read it to you. They inject preservative fluid into you, into your mortal remains. They drain your blood. They treat your internal organs. Ugh. Back in that day, they just wrapped you up in a bunch of cloths, sprinkled in about 75 pounds of good-smelling herbs, in this case, compliments of Joseph of Arimathea, who came out as a follower of Christ, and they placed you in the tomb. That was it. Sweet-smelling stuff, bunch of cloths. Back to what John saw. The odd thing is that Jesus was gone, but the cloths were still there. Why did they remove the cloths? Silent moment in John's life. Here's a question for you. Were the cloths unwound, or were they still wound but compressed because the body was gone? Interesting thing to ponder. Did Jesus unwind it all, or did he pass through it all? Inconclusive, but I'm going to vote for he passed through it all. How could he unwound it? He was in it. And if he passed through it to be outside of it, to be able to unwind it, why bother unwinding it? So I'm with those who really say, no, we think it was unwound. It was just as later he's going to say, there's the head, there's the foot. You can really tell it's not just a pile of cloths and a mess. And so it seems like Jesus just passed right through it. And now what John looked in and saw was it's all still wrapped like there's a body in there, but the body's gone and it all went. Phew. Now he's really going, what? What in the world? John 20, verse 6, then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, because that's Peter. He's impetuous. He's fearless. He went right in. He scores on the big five. He scores very low in neuroticism and very high in extroversion. That's the guy who just goes right in. So he went right in. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, another detail, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the other linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. So now we have Peter and John inside the tomb. And here comes another incredible moment in the history of the faith. John, and he saw and believed. First person ever in human history to comprehend, to understand, to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He saw and believed. I checked that in other gospels. Did anybody else believe before this? No, no one else believed before this. John's the first person to say, I get it. I believe my Savior has risen from the dead. For as yet, up till that point, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. John was the first person to believe. Do you believe? Do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Do you believe and have you called upon the saving name of this of the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Have you bowed and blessed him? Has he become your sovereign and your God? Do you love him? Have you believed? John was the first one to believe in the resurrection. There's room for more. Amen. Join John and all the rest of us who believe. At this point, Peter and John left and went back home, but Mary Magdalene returns. They ran back to the tomb. She apparently didn't run, or she was delayed a little bit. She gets back to the tomb later. So now she shows up again. We're in John 20, verse 11. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. So she's back now, and she's standing there weeping. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And what did she see? Here's what's waiting for Mary. Peter and John didn't get this. Mary Magdalene got this. A lot of points scored for Team Woman at the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, all right? Just notice that. Mary, with that kind of background, she stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look in, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head, so you can tell where the head is, and one at the feet. Not a pile of random twisted cloths. There's a head, there's a feet. She saw two angels in white. Man, I don't know about you. You're probably the same as me. I can't wait to see angels. Like, by the grace of God, I'm gonna see angels, and we'll see them then forever and ever and ever and ever. I can't wait. She gets to hear an angel voice. I can't wait to hear an angel voice. That's better than a day at the beach. That's way better than Disneyland. There's a what would I call it? Kind of a rock song called She Talks to Angels, She Talks with Angels. It's a good song. I went and listened to it this week because I thought of it while I'm preparing this. Still a good song. It could have been about Mary Magdalene. She's going to have a conversation with an angel. I want to have a conversation with an angel. I want to be in glory because it's amazing. These angels, Luke describes them as two men dressed in clothes that gleamed like lightning. I want to see that. Matthew describes it this way. They had the appearance of lightning and wearing garments as white as snow. Mary sees this. Lightning guys. One at the head and one at the foot. These are bright, 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 glowing people. She gets to see this. Peter and John didn't get that. That wasn't revealed to them. How many of you would like to see an angel? Hear an angel voice. Man, there's a lot awaiting us in heaven. Hold the things of this earth loosely. So the angels say to her, verse 13, woman, why are you weeping? And she said to them, they've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. That's still her theory of what happened. They took him away. That was her theory. If you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you don't believe in the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, I'd like to know, what's your theory? The Roman authorities and the Jewish authorities had every motivation to squash this thing from its inception, to stop Christianity from getting off the ground. And they had, man, they had a power move of power moves. All they had to do was produce the body. Christianity's dead from the starting block. Why didn't they produce the body? Only possible answer, they didn't have the body. Disciples didn't break in and steal it. There was a Roman guard and all that. What happened to the body? Jesus rose. What's your theory? I hope you'll believe God's truth about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now, Mary Magdalene again will be the very first person to see Jesus Christ risen from the dead. Verse 14. Having said this, she just said, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing. But wait a minute. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" The angels asked her about her weeping. Jesus asked her about her weeping. Everybody's asking her about her weeping. Supposing him to be the gardener. That's her next theory. "Oh, there's a man here. My theory is he's the gardener." One of the greatest cases, must be the greatest case in all of human history, to mistake the resurrected Jesus for the gardener. But apparently, Jesus glorified, Jesus raised from the dead, has what I'll call cloaking powers. He did not reveal to her who he was at that particular moment, and he just looked like the gardener to her, so she knew nothing better. She couldn't tell that this person even looked like the Jesus she had known. Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And now the lights come on. Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And she believed. She understood. Some of you mistake Jesus for a myth. Some teacher somewhere along the line has told you, "Yeah, that's all, that stuff's mythical. It's not true. It's not a true story." And you are mistaking Jesus' identity as being mythical. Oh, may God give you a moment where the lights come on, like he just gave Mary a moment where the lights came on, so that you understand, no, this is the truth of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior you need, and he rose from the dead. When Jesus said her name, Mary, apparently he turned off the cloaking. He turned on the lights. And Mary became the very first person, I'll say it again, to see Jesus risen and alive from the dead. And the second person, John first, then her, to believe in the resurrection of the Lord. And she became the first person to hear the voice of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. In heaven, we'll hear that voice. There are a lot of good reasons to be ready to go to heaven. If you're thinking, "No, earth is better, I really want to cling to it," you're not getting it. Mary, out of whom Jesus had cast seven demons, first person ever to hear our resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus utter her name. Again, sisters, team woman is doing very well at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You could start a girl band, Daughters of Mary Magdalene. You could have a t-shirt line, all of that. Jesus speaks and Mary hears. This reminds me of what's back a few chapters earlier. We're in John 20. Let's go back to John 10 for a moment. I'll put this verse up. John 10, 3 and 4. The sheep, Jesus says, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Now, you might not have heard an audible voice of Jesus Christ, but if you're in Christ, you have heard his voice speak life into your soul. With ears of faith, let's say, you've heard the voice of Jesus in the Word of God. And one day you will hear his actual voice. Again in John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Mary Magdalene knew his voice. Nobody will ever snatch Mary out of Christ's hand. Back to John chapter 20. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What significance about the do not cling to me part? It seems that in love and wonder and humility and adoration and worship, Mary, when she realized who this is, it's not the gardener, it's the Savior, and he rose, she fell to the ground and maybe wrapped herself around his ankles. It's an act of worship. It's an act of submission. It's an act of adoration. She wrapped herself around his ankles. She's giving Jesus a holy, humble hug. An ankle hug, leaving lots of room for the Holy Spirit. But Jesus says, Mary, now is not the time for clinging, but for going and telling. I only have 40 days. I'm reading a lot into this. Let's get busy. I have many post-resurrection appearances to make. I'm going to appear to Paul and over 500 who are there at one time, most of whom are still alive, go and ask. So don't cling to me. I've got something for you to do. I have a place I want you to go. She was told not to cling to Jesus because we're talking about bodily, physically, go somewhere instead. But you, the word to you is, oh, cling to Jesus Christ. Call upon his saving name and attach yourself to him by grace through faith. And don't ever, ever, ever let anybody or anything draw you away from Jesus Christ. You want to be found in Christ at the last day. Clothed in his righteousness. So cling to him in your heart. Cling to him in your soul. Cling to him in your life. Cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice also, Jesus said to Mary M., the woman with that past, Jesus said to Mary M., I go to your Father. Jesus is affirming she's a true child of God. God is her Father. I go to your Father, and I go to your God. Jesus affirms Mary, who had seven demons, is now in Christ. God is her God. God is her Father. Question for you, is God your Father, and is God your God? Oh, may he be. Verse 18, Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and that he had said these things to her. When you come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will tell somebody. Amen. Tell somebody. Go and tell your family. Go and tell your friends. The woman at the well did the same thing. She believed out there at the well. She went into town and said to them, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He'd only told her one thing, but she knew if he saw that thing, he saw all of them. So he basically told me everything I'd ever done. So Mary went and announced to the disciples. Then Jesus appears to the disciples. Then he appears to doubting Thomas. Then in 1 Corinthians 15, I'll read it, it's not up there. He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Jesus appeared. The gospel in 1 Corinthians 15 is that he died, he rose, and he appeared, he appeared, he appeared, he appeared. Now, skipping down to later in our chapter, John chapter 20, a little bit later on, verse 28, we're with doubting Thomas. Jesus flipped on the lights in doubting Thomas's soul. And Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Have you ever answered that to the Savior, flipping lights on in your soul? In amazement at God's salvation that he's granted you. You are my Lord. You are my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Get this now. This is about you. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Sounds like you're more blessed than him. I feel like he's more blessed. He got to see Jesus. No, you're more blessed because without seeing Jesus, you have believed. That's interesting. Skip down a little later, John 20, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. Why is all this in the Bible? Why is it written? So that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Oh, may you believe. All right. Three concluding admonitions for you. First is that, here it is, believe. So believe in the risen Savior. Oh, please, for the good of your never-dying soul, believe in the risen Savior. Like John, who saw the empty tomb and believed, verse 8. Like Mary, who heard Jesus call her name and she believed. Have you truly believed? The resurrection is not simply a historical fact to acknowledge. It's the power of God for your salvation. If the Holy Spirit is prompting, nudging your heart, your soul today, oh, do not leave here the same. Believe. Open your soul to him. Bow before him. Call upon him. Turn from sin. Trust in the risen Christ. Receive the eternal life he offers. John 20, 29, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Join that number. Second closing word of exhortation, and cling to the risen Christ, kind of like Mary M. did around the ankles, but you cling to him all your life in your soul. Cling to Jesus Christ. You can cling to him spiritually with all your heart and all your fears and doubts and troubles and sorrows. Cling tighter to the living Savior than you do to anything else. Amen? Amen? He is your Redeemer, and nothing can snatch you from his hand. Ask yourself, do I love and cling to Jesus Christ more than anything else this world could offer? Cling to the risen Christ. Third concluding word, and go and tell about the living Lord. Again, we saw this. Mary didn't stay at the tomb. She ran and declared, I have seen the Lord. So you could go and tell people, with eyes of faith, I have seen the Lord. I have believed on the Lord Jesus. Join me. You know why I became a Christian? One of my best friends in high school, a classmate of mine, said to me one day, looked me right in the eyeballs and said, I have given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't you come to this Bible study with me? I did, and I was saved. I would not have been on your most likely list, most likely to believe list. Just looking at me, just know, you would not have thought, well, there's an easy mark. I'll evangelize him. Now, I was a hard target, but softened very quickly in the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The resurrection is not private good news. It's news to be proclaimed. Let your family know, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors. Tell them the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive, and he calls sinners by name. This Easter, oh, be like Mary Magdalene and go and tell what you have seen. With eyes of faith, the risen Lord. Bow with me, please. Thank you, Father, for this time in your presence and in your holy word. We do pray that sinners all over the globe and sinners in this room, those who are far from Christ, those who have not yet bowed the knee, would you have dealings with their souls and draw them to the cross? Draw them to the Lord Jesus. Would you flip on the lights? Would you turn on the switch? Would you give them the light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the glory of God? And we pray, oh Father, that you would make us a little bit like Mary Magdalene as she followed you, as she followed Jesus Christ. May we go and tell and see many come to the cross. For we pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.